Have you ever lost something of value that in losing it, you could not think of anything else until you found that item? A couple of years ago, I lost my keys early in the morning, and as a result, because there was no one else at home, I was stuck at home for the rest of the day. And for 6 hours, I was looking everywhere for the keys, and when I wasn't looking, I was fretting. And so around 3:30 in the afternoon, I said, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go and make dinner. And so I went down to the freezer to get out some meat, and lo and behold, there were my keys. That earlier in the day, I remembered now that I'd taken a bunch of things down to put into the freezer, and I'd put the keys absentmindedly into the basket and shut the freezer and left and forgot all about my keys. I was so excited that I texted people and said, you know those keys that I lost? I have found them. And I just had a sense of such relief. Well, I'm sure everyone here, especially if you're over the age of 40, can remember something that you have lost, and it has so preoccupied your thinking that it continued to nag at you. Today, Jesus tells us three stories that are all about someone or something that has been lost and then found. And he tells us these stories because he wants to appreciate that at the heart of God is this desire to find us. And because we can all identify with what it means to have lost something important to us, we all can experience something of the feeling, the emotion, and the absolute determination that is on the heart of God when those things, those people that he loves are lost, are then found. At the heart of our understanding of the faith is that God is a God who wants to come to us. And we have that passage from the Old Testament that's really hard to understand in a way because it talks about the wrath of God. But we have to understand the wrath of God in this way. It's like someone going home, a husband or a wife, and finding their spouse in bed with another person. How would that person feel? Wrath. Because there is such a sense of disloyalty. And here in the Old Testament, we have the sense of God seeing Israel, who he had called as his own people, and said, you are mine. But it's interesting in that passage, repeatedly, at the beginning, God no longer calls them my people. He sort of shifts them on to Moses and says, they're now your people. And then at the end of the passage, Moses goes back and says, no, God, they're not my people, they're your people. But the point of the passage in part is this, that Moses mediates on behalf of the people of Israel in a way that is an anticipation of Jesus mediating on our behalf. The whole heart of the gospel is this idea that God's love for us is so great that even in our disloyalty, his wrath can never usurp his love. And so when we think of our Lord telling these stories, he tells three of them, one about sheep, one about a coin, and one about a son. And when you think about the three people in this story, from a human perspective, you would think they have all lost it. They are out of their minds. For instance, the story of the shepherd. Jesus says, which one of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Now, I am no shepherd. I have spent no time in agriculture, but I think this is one stupid shepherd. I mean, agriculturally, it makes no sense. Economically, he makes no sense. What if, in going and looking for that one sheep, 45 other ones go off and end up getting lost? It's just dumb. Or then there's the woman. Now, I appreciate the fact that she's poor, but this coin, well, it might be worth, at the most, a toonie. Can you imagine a friend phoning you up and saying, come on over to my house, I'm having a party? And you ask, so what are you having a party about? Well, I'm celebrating the toonie that I found, and I want you to join with me. I mean, at some level, it just seems crazy nonsense. And then there's the story of the father. The father whose kid wants him dead. And the father who gives the inheritance. And as we know this story so well, the kid goes off to the far and distant land, and there he spends everything. And it just seems that this dad is over the top in his reaction, especially when you think of how this kid has acted. the indignity, the insult, the mistreatment that he had received at the hands of this boy. And here's Dad running out to greet him. Come on. There's something about this shepherd. There's something about this woman. There's something about this father that just seem a little bit kind of over the top. Well, that's because in each case they are over the top. There's this great phrase by St. Catherine of Siena. And she said that God is pazzo d'amore. Pazzo d'amore, which means crazy in love. God is crazy in love. Crazy in love with us. So much that he's like a shepherd who will leave 99 sheep in order to find the one that is lost. So crazy in love that he is like a woman who turns her house upside down in order to find that lost coin. Crazy in love like a father who has this disreputable, obnoxious kid. I mean, what the kid deserves when getting home is at the most a peanut butter sandwich and a glass of milk, but he gets filet mignon and Cabernet Sauvignon. I mean, come on. But God is crazy, 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 pazzo d'amore in love. This is the heart of the gospel, that the God we believe in, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, will search and search like the shepherd for the sheep, the woman for her coin, will wait and wait like that father for that crazy teen to return. So I want to just take one other approach at these stories and now show how each one of them in a particular way points out different types of lostness. And I'm very appreciative to Bishop Robert Barron, who presented this idea in his homily for this week, and I found it so compelling that I want to share it with you. Now think about that coin. A coin is an inanimate object. It does not know that it is lost. And sometimes people find themselves in this kind of situation. People who are spiritually dead. They have no sense of God. They do not know that they have a soul. They do not know that they are actually spiritual beings who are living through life in this world. They are insensitive to the movement and the searching of the Holy Spirit. They are like this coin. The coin did not know it was lost. And there are so many people today who have no idea that they are lost. Perhaps you know some of them. They might be in your family. They might be your neighbors. They might be your colleagues at work. In their conception of the world, what you see is what you get, and that's all you need, and there's nothing else to worry about. And here's the important thing to remember, that God is pazzo d'amore. He's crazy in love with these people. For they are like that woman, and looking for that coin, is willing to turn the house upside down to help find them. And then there are people like the sheep. Now, sheep are sentient beings. That is, they have a sense. They have mobility. They have a sense that's not all that highly developed, because they are definitely not the sharpest animal in the barn. A couple of years ago, I was in Northern Ireland. And if you've ever been to Northern Ireland, there are sheep everywhere. And we were actually doing a five-day walking tour. And on one of the days, there were sheep, sheep, sheep everywhere. And then there was this one sheep up on a hill all by itself. And it was like, meh, 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 bleat, 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 bleat. And it did not stop bleating. At some level, that sheep up there on the top of the hill realized, I want to be down there with the rest of the family. At some level, that sheep knew in its sheepish way that it was lost, but it did not have a full understanding of that reality. Back in the 14th century, Dante Alighieri wrote the most famous poem in Western civilization called The Divine Comedy. And this poem starts in a way that is representative of lost sheep. Midway in our life's journey, I went astray from the straight road, and I woke up to find myself alone in a dark wood. How shall I say what that wood was like? I never saw so drear, so rank, so arduous a wilderness. Its very memory gives a shape to fear. Wow. Did you catch the very first verse? At the midway in our life's journey. Some people, at that midway point of their life, they kind of wake up and they start bleeding because they realize, I'm lost. Maybe there's someone here this afternoon who's in this very place that you identify with what Dante is saying here about in the midway of my life, it just seems so drear, so rank, so arduous. And here's the beautiful thing, that in the midst of being in that place, in your own way of bleating, remember that God is looking for you because he is pazzo d'amore. He is crazy in love. A coin, a sheep, and then a son who intentionally and willfully says to Dad, I don't want you anymore. I am turning my back on home, and I am going to do my thing, my way, where I want to. Apart from Catholics who are in church, the next largest number of Catholics are those Catholics who have turned away from the church altogether. And there are all sorts of reasons I understand why that has happened. But may I suggest one of the things that happens in people's lives is that they get to that point of saying, I don't want this. I want to be able to define my life on my terms and in my own way. But the wonderful thing, again, about our God and about his gospel, put so beautifully by Paul in today's epistle, I love this line, that I am the foremost of sinners, but to me, Jesus showed the utmost of patience, because St. Paul understood that Jesus is crazy in love. And Jesus is there to wait for us to come to that point where, like that boy, we come to our senses and say, I'm going home. I'm going home. May we understand and take to heart that our God, the God that we celebrate as Catholic Christians, is, in the words of Catherine Siena, pazzo d'amore, crazy in love with you. He is so crazy in love with us that the thing that holds all of these three stories together is the word joy. That there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There is more joy in heaven over that sheep that returns. I love the word joy because the word joy in Greek is the word chara, C-H-A-R-A. The word grace in Greek is the word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. Chara is joy. Charis is Greek for the word grace. And here we are at the Eucharist. The whole heart of our faith is the joy of those who know what it has been like to have been lost and are now found. This is the meal where the fatted calf in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ dies for us so that we may have life. This is the meal of joy. This is the meal of grace. This is that table spread by God where the lost come together to celebrate that God is pazzo d'amore, crazy in love. Nothing delights God more than the finding of lost souls, a discovery far greater than a coin, a sheep, or keys.